Amen and amen. I want to invite you this morning to open up your Bibles to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 39. We're going to look at the story of Joseph again. And if on the screens, if you can go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. We're going to that on the screens, Acts 7, verses 9 through 10. And our Bibles, we're opening to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 39. As I told the service on Wednesday night, you can feel free as well to use your iPhone or iPad or Kindle and use the apps on those to read your Bible too. I only ask that when you do that, you're not texting or playing Angry Birds while I'm preaching on the Word of God. So really use the Bible app. And if someone sends you a text, then text them back and say, why aren't you here at Word of Life? You need to get over here, but feel free to use that. If you don't have either of those things, but you want to follow along with us in the Bible, our ushers will be in the aisles now. You can lift up your hand, and we would be more than glad to give you a Bible to help teach you the Word of God. We started a new series last week entitled Walking in the Fog, and what we mean by that is walking in the favor of God. Friend, God wants you walking in His favor. And even if you're walking in a measure of His favor, He wants to increase the favor that's on your life. In the book of Luke, I believe it's chapter 2, and I want to say verse 42 or 52, one of those, it said that Jesus grew in stature and in wisdom and in favor with God and with man. In the New Testament, the word favor and the word grace, it's the same word. It's just for whatever reason, when they were translating it over into the King James Bible, sometimes they use the word grace and sometimes they use the word favor. But what's interesting is in that, you see that there are several scriptures that reveal to us that we can walk in more grace. That those who humble themselves in the sight of the Lord qualify for more grace or more favor. God wants you walking in His favor. And I would say He wants us walking in His favor for a lot of reasons, but I would say the chief reason is because God loves us and He does not want to see you struggle. One of the major things that the favor of God does is it removes struggle from life. Now, don't get me wrong. We'll all have tests and trials. We'll see things pop up in life. But the favor of God smooths out life. You know, if you're a Christian and Christ has been shed abroad in your heart, when someone is struggling, your heart ought to go out to them. My wife yesterday did the warrior dash. And I have no idea how she felt compelled to do this. But what the Warrior Dash is, you run like 3-point-some-odd miles, and all the while you're doing major obstacles like climbing over cars and walls and going through riverbeds and swimming to the other side and jumping over fire and things like that, being a warrior. And my sweet little wife did this while I watched the kids. And anyway, you have to pay $60 to do this. I'd like to shake the hand of the man or woman who came up with that idea. $60 to jump over obstacles. And on another note, there's a brick wall out there, and we'll let you jump over some fire for $5. Just sign the waiver before you do it. But no, seriously, she signed up for this, and my sister-in-law did it too, and my niece, she did it too, and they all did it together. And they came to the point where there was like the riverbed that you could run across a little. You know, there was mud underneath the river, but at one point it got really deep. And apparently there was this one big guy who couldn't swim, and he thought you could just kind of run across it. And he got towards the end of that river, and my wife, my sister-in-law, my niece were all right there. He got to that part where you had to swim, and he couldn't swim, and this guy starts drowning. I mean, he starts struggling. They got a little lifeguard who runs over, and they're trying to pull him out, but he's pulling the lifeguard in. My wife runs over there, and she's trying to pull him out, and then my sister-in-law runs over there, or my sister's over there trying to pull him out, and he starts pulling them all under. Meanwhile, there's a big usher who ushers here who's in very, very good shape. I won't say his name, Tony McLaurin. But he was over on the side watching all of this happen. But he couldn't swim, so he couldn't do anything. So anyway, they're all right there. Y'all have to give me protection from Tony at the end of the service. I call Tony the Meese because he's half man, half beast. I mean, he looks like the Predator. But anyway, Tony's sitting there. And so this struggle is ensuing. Thank God they got him out. But I said all of that to say this. It's human nature, if you're a Christian, that when you see someone struggling, you want to help them. And God is the same way. If you're struggling in life, God doesn't want to see you struggle. He doesn't want you struggling in your marriage. That's not his best. He doesn't want you struggling on the job. He doesn't want you struggling trying to pay your bills. He doesn't want you struggling to make it in life. That is not God's best. Why? He is a father. And just like you don't want to see your kids struggle, God doesn't want to see his kids struggle. And he's given us a tool to help eliminate all the struggle from life, to help us through difficult times. And that tool, it's the favor of God. We saw last week that the favor of God came upon a couple of individuals. They were mentioned in the New Testament. Let's read this one example in Acts chapter 7 and verse 9. It said, "And the patriarchs moved with envy and sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with them." Verse 10, "And delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house." And let's read that first part again. "And delivered him," or I'm sorry, in verse 10, Acts chapter 7, verse 10, the first part of that, it said, "And delivered him out of all his afflictions." Once again, I want you to notice this. It was not God giving Joseph afflictions. It was God delivering him from afflictions. And notice how he did it, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. What was God's tool to help deliver Joseph from affliction? Favor. He gave him favor and wisdom. We read last week, I want to read it again so you can see the exact count of what favor did for Joseph. Notice in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 1, it said, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the ites which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him and made him an overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass over the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not all he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." Go over to verse 21. We know Joseph experienced a measure of a life change when he got thrown into prison. But notice even in that situation in verse 21, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Notice Joseph was in two situations where a lot of struggle could have been there. A slave in the house of this Egyptian and in prison. But yet in both of those places, not only did Joseph not struggle, but in both of those places, Joseph actually increased, prospered, got promoted, and saw the hand of God. Well, what enabled Joseph to be in two very difficult situations, but not only survive them, but thrive in them? It was the favor of God. What I aim to do for you today is to show you clearly from God's word what favor can do for an individual. The reason why I want to go over this in so much detail is so that you can see that it is okay to use your faith for this. Oftentimes with these subjects, be it favor, be it increase, or being experiencing the goodness of God or prosperity, whatever people want to call it, there's a lot of times where people's minds go tilt because they wonder, I wonder if this really is God's will for me. And I get that to some degree because it seems like when people teach faith a lot or confession or using your faith for something, it almost makes it seem as if what they're trying to do is to get God in agreement with you. Friends, that is not what faith is. Faith is not trying to get God to do what you say. Faith is not getting God in agreement with you. It's you getting in agreement with God. Faith is you saying what God said. That's where faith begins. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. We can't be in faith for anything Jesus did not first author. And what I want you to see through this is that what favor did for Joseph was not Joseph's idea. This was God giving Joseph favor. All the results that came of it was a gift that God gave to Joseph. So when you're using your faith for favor, feel completely fine with it. Because this is not you trying to talk God into doing something for you that he doesn't want to do for you. This is God showing you through his word what favor will do. Once again, I want to emphasize this. I said it last Sunday. The Bible was not written for your entertainment. Now, thank God it is entertainment, and it is fun to read, and we have great stories in it, but it was not written for our entertainment. It was written for our instruction. And when we see examples like this, it's not just to say, oh, wow, God was good to Joseph. It's written to instruct us how to walk in favor for ourselves. Amen. So, what did favor do for Joseph? I read this over and over and over again this past week, and I saw four key things favor did for Joseph. My plan is to go over these four things so that you, after this service, begin using your faith to see these four things happen in your life. The first thing that favor did for Joseph was this: it made him a prosperous man. The favor of God made Joseph a prosperous man. Now, oftentimes, once again, when this issue of prosperity comes up, people's minds start going tilled, and is that the will of God? And they immediately think of the love of money and all of these other things, which, yes, they are wrong. But what this word prosper means is progression, progress. I'll put it to you this way. God does not want you selfish. He does not want you ingrown, and he does not want you to live a life of faith so that all you use your faith for is more money. That is not God's best for your life. But what God does want is for you to use your faith to see his goodness in that area and then use your faith for other things as well. What this word prosperity means is to progress, to move forward. I'll put it to you this way. God wants your life to look better next year at this time than it does right now. He wants you to be walking in more increase in every area. He wants you more in love with him, more in love with your wife, enjoying your family more, enjoying your job more, enjoying success more. He wants more increase to be in your life next year than it's in your life right now. He wants your life right now to be better than it was a year ago. He wants your life progressing. He wants your life growing and expanding. I'll give you scripture for it. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. He says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper. That word prosper means three things. I looked it up. Please do your homework. Don't just believe me because I'm a preacher telling you to. Do your homework. Judge whether or not what I'm saying is truth or not. This word prosper in the Greek means this, to give help on the road. To give help on the road. To succeed in business affairs. Think about what God is saying to you today. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you succeed in business. I'm desiring to see you succeed in that area. The third thing it means is to have a prosperous journey. Beloved, I wish above all things that your journey is prosperous. Once again, he's just like any other father. A good father wants to see his kids blessed. He wants to see him growing in health, and he wants to see him growing in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants the same thing for you. Beloved, I wish above everything else for you that you prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. You're increasing financially. You're progressing in that journey. Your body is strong and healthy, and you're growing in your relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is God's will for you. Now, what favor does is to help you along the way, to help you in that journey. I'll give you an example. When Joseph's life started in Genesis chapter 39, his life started as a slave. By the time it ends, you see Joseph walking in all of God's best. His family is restored, his brothers and even his father's underneath his care. He's the leader of the most prosperous nation in all the land. He's experiencing good success in every arena of life. That was his ending. But all along the way, from his start to his finish, the journey in between there, what do you see God doing? You see, God is with him. And he prospers him all along the way. He helps him all along the way. When he was in Potiphar's house, the Lord prospered him there. When he was in the prison, the Lord prospered him there. Once again, that is what being prosperous is all about. It's not being money hungry. It's not a lust for other things. It's God steadily making the path of the righteous brighter and brighter, better and better with each passing day. The favor of God helps with that. If you're at a place in your life where it just looks like things aren't getting better, where it just looks like things aren't progressing in any area of life, friend, what you need is the favor of God. The favor of God is God's tool to help you in your journey, to help you on the road of life. Believe God for that. The second thing favor did was this. It made the right people notice him. The favor of God made the right people notice Joseph. When Joseph got in the house of Potiphar, he was around 17 years of age. There were other people who worked for Potiphar. Yet when Potiphar saw Joseph, he not only saw him, he noticed him. What favor does is imagine this sanctuary being pitch black. We turn out all the lights and there's no natural light coming in. It's pitch black in here. And then we shine a big spotlight on someone. Immediately when that happens, everybody's head in here will turn to that person. We shine the spotlight on. That's what the favor of God does. It's God shining his light on you. And on this particular day, Potiphar noticed him, and not only did he notice him, he said, you know, there's something about this kid that I need to make him the ruler over this entire house. Then he got in prison. Once again, the light of God's favor shone on Joseph. And the prison keeper said, you know what? He ought to be running this place. And makes the prisoner over the prison. Then he gets before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, you know what? When he sees him, he ought to be running this place. What is that? That's the favor of God. Let me give you a practical example of this. There's a man on our church staff right now named Robert Earl Berry Jr. There he is. That's Robert. He didn't know we were going to do that. So he really likes being called Earl too. And so make sure you do that. But Robert Earl is an awesome, awesome individual, an awesome man of God. And let me tell you how his story at this church started. A number of years ago, Robert grew up in the church. His father is Robert Berry Sr., one of our head ushers. I'm sure many of you know him. But he grew up in this church, but later went to college and was living at Alabama during this particular season of life that I'm talking about. And we were holding a singles conference. And anyway, Robert came in for that, and it was out at Twin Lakes. And anyway, there were a whole bunch of people leaving from the church to caravan over to the Twin Lakes area. And I'd always seen Robert growing up, but I never really knew Robert. I wasn't a close acquaintance of his. And I saw him out there, and it had been a while since I'd seen him, but I knew who he was. And I saw him getting ready to get on the little caravan and just carpool over with everyone else. But when I saw him, I noticed him. I tell you what, I couldn't get it away from my heart to just tell him to ride with me. I still to this day, other than it was the favor of God, don't know why I did it. I went over to Robert and said, come on, you need to ride with me. Well, he gets in the car and he is nervous as all get out. I did most of the talking. It's like when people are with the pastor, they think they're with like the principal or something, that you can't say anything bad and, you're judging every word that comes out of your mouth because you want to say the right thing. And so I'm doing most of the talking, but the whole time we're just talking about the things of God. And we drive up to Twin Lakes. We finally get there and we unload all of that, do the conference. At the end of it, he's getting ready to caravan back with them. And I'm at my car. And once again, I see him. But when I see him, I don't just see him. I notice him. And something in my heart says, you need to tell him to ride with you again. So I went and grabbed him. I said, what? You're not going to ride with me again? You rode with me once. You don't want to ride with me again? So he laughed about it and got in the car. And we drove back. And once again, just talking about the things of God. Now, I didn't know it then, and this is why it's always important for you as an individual, when God puts someone on your heart, that you take the time to minister to them however you can, because even something as simple as you just saying hello could mean the world to them. Never, ever fail to do that. And he will testify to this day. In fact, he'll send me an email or a text about this sometimes, talking about how that moment was the turning point for his life. I won't go into the details. I'll let him do it maybe one day. But that was where he really, really made a decision to go after God and the plan that God had for him. I often think, what would have happened on that day had God's favor not come on him in that moment? See, not only that, but after that, when he went back to Alabama, there was something in my heart that just could never get rid of Robert Berry Jr., Earl. I mean, just my heart wouldn't let go of him. I mean, every time I was in prayer, he kept coming up. So much so, I went to Jay, who I thought maybe knew him a little bit better. Jay's over our praise and worship. He plays the keyboard, and he plays a lot of other stuff. But anyway, he's over the praise and worship here. I was talking to him about Robert. Do you know Robert? What about Robert? And he said, you know, he's been on my heart too. And I remember him talking about that. And it all evolved into us hiring Robert to work maintenance, to just test him out. You really want to be in ministry? Let's see. Let's see if you really want to be in ministry. And he came on as maintenance, cleaning the floors and monitoring the church, and grew from there to being over the college age, to helping out in youth. And now he's an associate pastor and just doing an amazing job for the church. And believe me when I say the half has not been told concerning Robert Earl Berry Jr. God's got an amazing plan for him. And you know, as I've watched his life, you know what I've seen? Progress. I've seen him rise up and change as an individual. I've seen the hand of God promote him and bless him and move his life forward. What is that? The favor of God. It not only progressed him, but it made the right people notice him. And that made all the difference in the world. Another individual, the guy who built this church, I was sitting in a class listening to a seminar, and he gets up and starts talking about building churches. I hadn't even planned on building this church yet. But in my heart, I knew whenever I'm building a church, I'm supposed to use this guy to build it. I mean, I knew that in my heart. He didn't pitch a sales card to me. He didn't have to send me a packet in the mail. The light of God shone on him that day. God's favor shone on him. He landed a huge job, but not only did he land a huge job, I landed a good friend. But my point is, that's what the favor of God can do. On that day, there were a whole bunch of people in that class who saw that builder, but I noticed him. And when I noticed him, it helped God fulfill his plan in his life and increase him, and it helped God fulfill his plan in my life and increase us. Friend, what is that? It's the favor of God. How can that work for you? It can work in you in any different ways. It could be like Nehemiah. He was just a waiter serving the king, but the favor of God shone on him that day. And the king said, "What can I do to help you?" And he said, "King, I've got a great big vision on my heart." And the king said, "Well, you know what? You're going to need some finances to help you do it." Wrote him a huge check to get him all the wood he needed to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Friends, the favor of God completely changed his life by making the right person notice him. Friend, you may have a vision on your heart. You wonder, how in the world will this ever come to pass in my life? I don't know anyone. I don't have any resources. The favor of God will attract what you need to you. Believe for the favor of God. Thirdly, what the favor of God did for Joseph was this. All that he did prospered in his hand. If Joseph put his hand to it, the thing prospered. If Joseph made a decision, "I'm going after this. I'm going to put this in my hand and go to work on it," the Lord prospered it. Now, this is a two-sided coin. The first side is Joseph put his hand to something? And let me say this, friends. You cannot be believing for the favor of God at work if at work you are giving less than your best. You cannot say, "God, I thank you for your favor," but you show up late and you leave out a little bit early, and all along the way you're not giving it your best. Let me stop right here and say this. Whatever you do in word or deed as Christians, we are called to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our work as individuals ought to be the most excellent work produced on this earth, because we're not doing our work for man. We're doing everything that we do in word or deed to the glory of his name. We do our work as unto the Lord. I want to encourage you in your own industry, whether it is waiting tables or checking someone out at the grocery store or directing traffic, whatever it is, do it with all of your might. If you put your hand to it, God will bless it, but you must put your hand to it. I'll give you an example in my life where I've seen the favor of God. It was a couple of years ago, me and my wife decided to sell our house and buy a new house. It was right when the recession hit, and so there's way more supply than there is demand, and that's not the best time in the natural to sell a house. But I came across this house that I knew God wanted us to purchase. I knew it was my house. Anyway, we put an offer on that house, and you know what was the second phone call I made after I made an offer on that house? It was to a home inspector. And I paid a home inspector $495 to come and do a detailed look at my house. I told him, "I want you to find everything wrong with it." You know why I did that? Because after he gave me that report, you know what I did? No matter how much it hurt me, I fixed those things on that list. You know why? Because I do unto others as I want them do unto me. And if someone was going to buy my house, I didn't want to pitch to them my problems. I was going to give them the best house I could possibly give them. Now, friends, listen to me. If you're wanting God to give you favor and help sell this house, you can't have Cheerios all over the floor when people are coming to look at it and the house is a mess and all of these other... No, if you want God's best, you give God your best. And friend, you know what happened? In 2 weeks, my house sold. Not only did my house sell, but the offer they put on my house, I didn't have to negotiate with. And the offer I made on the other house, they accepted the first offer I made. What is that? That's the favor of God. But I'm convinced it wouldn't have happened if I didn't give my best. You put your hand to it, and you really put your hand to it, you're giving it your best, then you have the right to say, God, I put my hand to it. Now, Father, you put your hand to it as well. That's like I told the other services. It's like asking God, help me lose weight, but you do your devotional every morning at Krispy Kreme. Friend, that's not going to work. You've got to do your part, and God will do his part. There's a scripture in Proverbs that said, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the battle is the Lord's. Meaning you've done everything you can do, but now God's going to do everything he can do. Put your hand to it. On your job, how can you give it more of your best? Now, you may be saying, I'm giving it my best, but it looks like it's not producing. That's where the favor of God comes in. When the favor of God comes upon your life, what you do put your hand to, you see God prosper it. The fourth thing the favor of God did for Joseph was it brought the blessing of God to his house and his work. It said that the favor of God blessed not only the field, but it blessed the house as well. The blessing of God came on both of those things because the favor of God was on Joseph. When the favor of God comes upon your life, it's God's blessing coming upon your life. And when the blessing hit Joseph's life, it not only blessed him with success in his work, it also blessed the house as well. Friend, in our world today, it seems like if you run over here and try to create success in business, you're spending so much time, effort, and energy on it that it costs the family unit. But then when you run to the family unit to bring success to it, it's taking up so much time and emotional energy that you see the business side start to fall off. What the favor of God does is it brings the blessing of God, and the blessing of God maketh rich, and it adds no sorrow. There's no drop off to either one. When the favor of God comes in your life, it brings a balance to both of those areas, and you see God's hand at work, but you also see it at home. You bring increase to the job you're working at. God may promote you there. He may use it to get you a better job because you proved yourself faithful there. But all the while, he's also bringing increase to your home. The blessing comes on both. What I want to encourage you with is these four things happened in Joseph's life. And God did not love Joseph any more than he loves you. If he did it for Joseph, and the reason why it's recorded here in the Bible is so that you can learn from it and believe to see those things in your life as well. Friend, I want to end with this thought. We won't take the time to go over there and look at it. But there's a scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 talking about King Uzziah. I encourage you to read it when you get home. Read the whole chapter. And it said, as long as King Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And we get the impression King Uzziah, when he took over as ruler of the nation, he was 16 years old. I don't know if you've ever gotten in a new job and you immediately felt overwhelmed because the job was so big, but you know it had to be this way at 16. I mean, imagine taking a 16-year-old in 10th grade or 11th grade today and making them president of the United States of America. You could imagine all of the pressure that would come with that. So, you know what happened with that pressure? Uzziah was keenly aware of his need for God. He knew he needed him. And we get the impression that almost every day Uzziah would wake up and do something like this. Father, I need you today. I inquire of your favor. I inquire of your grace. I need you in my life. I require your presence. I require your help. See, what we think we need, we make time for. When you really feel the need for food, you'll find a way to eat. When you really feel the need for water, you make the time to drink. But so many times we say we need God, but we're not making any time for God. Uzziah, he recognized, I need him. And so he made time for him by seeking his presence, by seeking the wisdom of his God, by seeking his favor. And as long as he did that, God made him to prosper. The sad part of the story is, if you read it, when he was strong, when everything was going right, what happened? He didn't see his need for God anymore, and so he stopped seeking the Lord, and oh, it caused him struggle in life. What I want to encourage you to do today is you see what the favor of God can do. You've seen it from Scripture, not my opinion. My job is just to communicate God's word to you. Hopefully you've seen from Scripture what the favor of God can do. What I want to encourage you to do this morning is believe to see that favor in your life. See your need for it. I need this in my life, Father. So I'm asking you for your gracious hand. I'm asking you for divine favor. Help me walk in the fog. Help me walk in the favor of God. Begin your day every day that way, and I guarantee you over time, you will increase in favor. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me pray with you before we leave. Father, we come before you today and we thank you for the gracious hand of God. I thank you, Father, for everyone here under the sound of my voice that you equip us with divine favor. Father, not just for our blessing, but for your benefit. For your favor helps us run the race that you've called us to. And Father, we thank you that favor's increasing in our life and we see your hand on us. And Father, I also thank you for every person here, no matter where they are, in their spiritual walk with you. Draw them to yourself in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want everyone here to just say this prayer with me. Say it with all of your heart. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful that you gave Jesus to die on a cross for me. And I believe, Lord, that not only did he die, but on the third day, he rose again from the grave. Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. All things, they've passed away. All things have been made new. You've forgiven me, so I forgive myself. And I thank you, Lord. And my best days, they're starting right now. In Jesus' name, amen.